Who's living your life? Summary: many of us struggle to live authentically, torn between others' expectations and our own lived experience. Real fulfillment comes from balancing autonomy with emotional connection. Full article, source, photo by John Amodio. During my 45 years as a psychotherapist, I've often seen people who lament the choices they've made in life. They've been strongly influenced, if not manipulated, by people who think they know what's best for them. In short, they haven't been living their own lives. Whether it's about career or love, there's lots of pressure to get it right. So please don't be harsh with yourself if what I'm describing fits for you. Patterns often develop when we were young, uncertain, and our brain development was still a work in progress. Until we're around 25, our prefrontal cortex is still developing, which helps with decision-making, impulse control, risk assessment, and not succumbing to peer pressure. It's not uncommon to make fateful decisions, such as our choice of career or marriage partner, before really knowing ourselves. I remember entering college with no idea of what I wanted to do with my life. I was told I was good at math, so I should consider accounting as a major. I went along with that, until partway through my coursework, I realized it didn't resonate with me, no offense to accountants who provide an important service. The same story may apply to our choice of a partner. Observing friends getting married and creating a seemingly happy family may create angst about feeling left behind. FOMO, the fear of missing out, may propel us to marry prematurely, leaving us to manage unexpected consequences. Pressure from parents to produce grandchildren, either to prove to themselves or others that they've raised successful children, or because they really do care, may also add to the rush to gratify someone else's agenda instead of listening closely to what we really want. The fear of freedom. Many years ago, psychoanalyst Erich Fromm wrote Escape from Freedom, known in Britain as The Fear of Freedom. He fled Nazi Germany to eventually settle in the USA. In this classic book, he explains that when we can't tolerate the awesome responsibility that comes with freedom, we turn to authoritarianism. We look to those who confidently tell us what to believe and how to live, however misguided they might be. Apart from the social and political implications of not taking responsibility for our freedom, we may shy away from the introspection and thoughtfulness necessary to live an authentic and meaningful life. As Abraham Maslow knew, our desire to belong is an essential part of the hierarchy of needs. Being the lone wildebeest straying from the herd is fraught with danger. Something in us needs to feel connected in order to thrive, if not survive. Listening to ourselves. We can't undo past decisions based upon what others wanted from us. But we can cultivate the awareness and courage necessary to live our own lives as best we can. Here are some things we have control over that might help us honor our right to live our own lives. We can assert our needs and wants in a relationship. We can attune inwardly as a guide to when our feelings and needs are not being respected or when our boundaries are crossed. We can speak up at work to the extent we feel comfortable doing so, finding a balance so we don't jeopardize our job unless we are willing to walk away. We can develop self-care habits that support our physical and emotional health. Balancing autonomy with intimacy. Much has been written about how we're a culture that worships individuality, the rugged individual. In contrast, honoring our interdependence is an important foundation for couples therapy, including the good work of Dr. Sue Johnson, the primary developer of emotionally focused therapy. Intimacy cannot thrive unless we allow ourselves to be emotionally touched by each other. However, overcorrecting can become problematic if we respond to others without staying deeply attuned and present to ourselves. We need to find a skillful way to navigate the ongoing tension between the freedom to be ourselves and the pull to be responsive to others. Our ongoing task is to become adept at this most challenging and rewarding dance, embracing autonomy and intimacy as two sides of the spinning coin of life. Being ourselves while staying open. The key to living our own lives is to listen carefully and consistently to our feelings, living close to our felt sense of various life situations and challenges. But this doesn't mean isolating from people or ignoring how we affect and are affected by others. Just the opposite. Our own well-being is intimately connected to how deeply and intimately we relate to others. We're free to be ourselves, but if we want to find happiness, we also need to attend to others' needs. I found that when people prioritize self-expression over emotional safety, the relationship tends to suffer. The key to living a happy, connected life is subtle and nuanced. If it were easy, we'd all be in relationship heaven by now. It's a lifelong practice of honoring our own experience and caring for ourselves, while also being curious about others, attuned and responsive to what they need to be happy. Here's the good news. Finding the balance between living our own life and caring about others brings the greatest joy and fulfillment.